Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need. Peace talks, they are good, and talk of peace we should, but worthless with Jesus left out. To him let's bow our knees, for he's the Prince of Peace, and he's the worldwide need without a doubt. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need.
This is Global Air Force, and here's your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. Today we are back visiting Dr. Roberts Leerdon for the second time.
This man is so valuable to me and all that he's writing. I'm learning today that he's writing more. I don't think we can stop him. And he's the author of God's Generals. God's Generals 1, Why They Succeed, Why Some Fail. And I consider it a spiritual and a pragmatic view that's valuable for almost every believer to read.
I've written 4 volumes now.
On God's Generals?
Yeah, there's 4, and I'm doing number 5 right now. I got... Number 3 is the Revivalists, where you do Wesley and Finney and all those guys. And then I did another Pentecostal one on 4. You got Oral Roberts and Summerall and the Hunters and George Jeffries and Bosworth. And I'm writing the next one on the great missionaries like Livingston, Carey, those kind of people. So there'll be 12 volumes in the series when I'm done with it in my life.
You're going to be teaching at Harvard.
Well, I hope so. That'd be nice. And we can push people to my Facebook site.
Your Facebook site is an education in itself. He has a official site on Facebook. There is videos and information, most informative of all the Facebook sites that I look at. So here is our guest. Good morning, Roberts.
Good morning. Glad to be with you, and thank you for the nice talk about my Facebook site.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it. It's an education in itself.
Good. Well, we try to keep it uplifting, informative, and fun. And so I hope people go. It's just, people can find my Roberts Leerdon Official is the site. Then we got about 58,000 people on it now. And it's begun to take off and just grow surprisingly for me. In fact, my friends, when I moved to England about 3 years ago, I was over there for 3 years helping to build a college. And they said, well, we need to put you on Facebook so we can communicate. I didn't know what Facebook was. So they got me a site, and then it grew to 58,000 in a matter of about 2 years. So it's been an education of growth for me.
Okay.
Well, modern technology is moving so fast that what we do today is already obsolete by tomorrow or next week.
Well, that's happening on our Christian beliefs, too, somewhat. You know, we're growing fast. You know, we're learning more and more. We're not getting further away from God. I believe we're getting more into Him. There's doors opening up that we can express how God thinks, his reaction, his style, his personality, where 50 years ago we'd be afraid to talk like this.
Yep. Well, I like the freedom of conversation. I like people being able to voice their questions, their concerns, their different views. I may not agree with them, or I may even be a little bit upset with them, but I do appreciate the ability that people can think and voice. I mean, that's how iron sharpening iron happens in society, in church, in family, in businesses. And so I love the idea that we are communicating as a world, and it's going to make us better in the long run, I believe.
Yes, well, one of your strong points, of course, is you are a researcher, and you've got a hunger and a calling to investigate these things. It's so valuable today because I went to school and I had church history, and it was dry, and I got tired of reading apologetics. Then I got involved with Randy Clark, who had a course on church history, which is like you. It just revolutionized my thinking, realizing that the church, within the first 100 years, 200 years, was off track and involved in a lot of things, persecution, and I even think just bad representation and bad news.
Yeah. Well, I've spent most of my teenage years and young adult, and I still do it, researching the lives of great different leaders, mainly inside the church world, and revival movements. A revival movement is where a group of people got together, and it seems like God came down and did some unusual Bible acts in their lifetime, and how those things moved, grew, or imploded. And I love to research and study those things. So I live with books. If you come to my hotel room when I'm out traveling, you'll find two or three books on the side table next to the bed. And I read three kinds of books, I guess, a week or in 10 days. I read a Christian teaching book, I read a biography, and I read a current affairs or current events book. So I stay current with the economy, politics, the cultural stuff, because I don't want to be a man that is, well, I used to be young and now I'm old and complaining. I want to stay current in my thinking, in my interaction, where I understand what's going on. And I think many Christians, for example, should be more astute about the world around them, about the culture around them. You don't have to agree with it, but you need to understand it and know how to relate to it. And so when I'm an old man, 90 years old, I want to be able to still talk with teenagers and have a good time. I still want to be able to talk with kids and have a good time. I still want to be able to talk to people my age of 90 at that time and be able to relate to them. But that's a concerted effort to do. It's not something that comes naturally. You have to work at being current. You have to work at being current in your spirit, in your thinking, in your manner. And so that is, a lot of times people forget to work at it. If it doesn't come, they don't do it, so they get stuck in some time zone in their past.
Being a believer is a dynamic function existence. It is dynamic. It is growing. It is changing. It is renewing and refreshing. In fact, the Bible says continually renew your mind. Continually be updating it. Things are changing. The world's changing. And not that the basis of the gospel has changed, but the way we see it and how much of it we understand. I find it an ever-growing education experience. It is dynamic, and that's what I find. And of course, I'm in two or three books every week, and I'm always learning something. And even with people, sometimes I disagree with people and their ministry, but there are times when the Holy Spirit says, no, you study what they are doing. And almost every time there is a gift in that research. There's development in me. There's a cleansing of my life. There's a love developing for them. It doesn't mean they're all right, but it's dynamic. It's growing. There's life, they said, or where there's life, there should be growth.
True. Well, if we don't grow and we don't expand, then we become an historical marker to the past, and not many people relate to us, and we lose the ability to enjoy life. Growth gives you the opportunity to enjoy keeping your mind, your emotions, your spirit, your relationships on a positive movement forward. And so that takes effort. It's not always easy. Sometimes you've got friends that you like and they don't want to go any further, so you've got to decide, am I going to stay there with them, or am I going to go out and venture to meet new people who are still moving forward? So your social life keeps changing as you keep progressing and keep learning.
Mm-hmm. We need to keep on circulating there, keep on stirring our minds and hearts to look at these things. There's life in research and study and meditation on the Word. There is life. It is not a dead-end street. There is a whole world, I believe, still out there in which we are to be, that's given to the Lord, that's be captured in our hearts. When the black leather cover was put on the back of the Bible, God didn't quit speaking. He's never quit speaking. He's always talking.
Well, I think that some people think that when the Bible was canonized, that was the last time God spoke to the human race. And I don't think that's true. Nowhere in the canonized scripture did it say God stopped talking. Mm-hmm. So God's talked through the gospel. He talked through the book of Acts. He's talked through church history. And he talks today to people that are both Christians and non-Christians.
That's right.
And God talks to people in the way they understand. That's another thing that people need to sometimes accept. If God talked to me in symbolism, chemistry, or mathematics, I wouldn't get it. No way. But if he talks to me in everyday life or historical facts or political history, I can get the principle he's trying to get to me. And so God talks to people in the way that they understand life and how their mindset is at that moment. So God's not going to talk in Greek or Hebrew or in scriptural dissertations that you don't get. He'll talk to you in parables that you understand in your life or in principles that you can grasp. Like when the Lord told me to write these books about these preachers, he called them God's generals. Well, in my family, that was a vocabulary that was used at times that meant to me different leaders that stood out that led great groups of people to new places of faith and accomplishment. Well, some people might have heard God's generals and had no idea what it meant. But God knew that my mindset understood those words and what that meant. So he chose to talk my language. We don't have to choose his language. He will choose our language because that's how he loves us. And that's how he also expresses he wants to be our friend.
Right. He reaches us in our style. Even when we're wrong, right. He reaches us. He reaches down. That's how we start to love him. We find out what we can't do, he can do for us.
That is so true. So true. And God's easy to get along with. It's his representatives on earth that sometimes make it difficult or you make you want to go, that's God, forget it. And I understand that. Thank God that I have read his word and grown up enough to be able to sort through misrepresentations from probably sincere people, but sincerely wrong in some aspects, that if I actually listened to their attitudes, I'd have run to the other side of the fence and said, forget these people. But I found that God is a good God and that God is kind and he's out to help me in my life and to do good for me. He's not mad at me. He may not always agree with everything I do, but he's not going to cut me off or damn me or do something evil to me. Evil comes from the devil and good comes from God. And that is the nature and the heart of those two spiritual entities.
That's one of the most important things that the world needs to hear, that God is good. His desires, his passion is good towards you, for you. And of course, God has an enemy. And that enemy is our enemy, and he twists everything that God has established and created, and he himself has created and twisted that what is against God. And so God is good, and we don't want to reject him because of Christians. We don't want to reject him because of church philosophy or something. We want to accept him just based on his nature, his style, his thought, and his purposes for us. Yes.
and his purpose for all of us is good. He only has good things for us. And so we have to learn how to trust the invisible God with our visible life. And when we can do those steps of faith and those small steps of saying, all right, I'll go there, I trust you, good things happen on a big scale. So it's exciting.
In your books, God's generals, and so you're writing so many. You're going to have, 12 books when this is complete? This will be a series of 12 books.
I've written about 50 books so far in my life, and the series you're talking about is just 4 volumes so far. The God's General series will be a 12-volume series that I'm writing over my life. And so I'm written 4 volumes now, the 5th one I'm writing on at the moment. And so this is the stories that I've researched and calculated their life, their quotes, their ups and downs, their goods or bads, and then make application of what we can learn from. You can learn from different people, different ministers, even those that made mistakes. Just because somebody made a mistake does not mean everything they said or did was wrong. you can learn from their successes and from their failures. And so I try to make like life application about them, even though I tell some of the things that they did as a mistake, not as judgment, as a stepping tool for us to learn how to be better or to be aware. Because, you know, we keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again in life, business, family, and our private life. So if we could stop for a moment and just say, here are somebody that did something great, but in the middle of all their doing greatness, they did something stupid. Mm-hmm. And look at it for a moment and say, why, how, was there something that we could learn from it, or how we could be aware that if that same type of scenario comes toward us, our business, or ministry, or family, how we can avoid it or not enter it or not go through the same heartache and causing the same heartache on other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a great challenge, and it's been lots of fun to do it.
In all of God's generals, what would you say is a common theme?
Well, one thing that we could learn that is a positive common thread was they believed that God was big and wanted to do big things to help lots of people. I think sometimes we don't allow the bigness of God, God's resources, God's ability through people do big things. And so a common thread through all of these individuals was they had that type of mentality, that type of belief. Whether they voiced it as clearly as I am, you could see it in their behavior, in the way they conducted the natural side of their life and ministries. I mean, on the desk of Oral Roberts, I was a good friend of Oral Roberts. That's why my name is Roberts with an S. He helped name me when I was born. So I grew up around him. But on Oral Roberts' desk, I remember seeing as a child and a teenager going into his office, a little sign where you'd put on your desk your name. You have your name plaque there. Instead of his name, I guess everybody knew his name in the room. So he had on the front of his desk, make no small plans here. And so when you walk and sit in front of his desk, that was the first thing you saw was make no small plans. And Oral Roberts was a man that believed in a big God that did good things and big things. So I want people to, all over the world, to know that our God can heal the smallest thing and do the biggest thing through the same person. And what was one of the great missionaries said it? Believe in a big God and attempt big things for God. I think it's time again that we start believing for big stuff to happen in our communities, in our nation, in the world, and the most unlikely characters. These are not special people. They were just like you and I, like people listening, that were sitting there reading their Bibles or sitting there talking to God in a very maybe angry way one day or a confused way, and God spoke to them in a way they understood and their life changed. And so anybody who's willing to hear God's voice and get up and obey it can do something big for God and for man, and we need a million of those people to awaken up in the next 3 or 4 years on the planet Earth and change the world.
Yes, and you said hear God's voice, and we can hear God's voice. And sometimes I would say to listeners today, sometimes we hear things and we say, is that from God? Is that from the devil? And that's the big question. Well, I don't want to do anything wrong. But we need to listen. God will speak to you. And yes, you will be wrong at times. But if you don't act, the point is that initial inspiration. Sometimes we don't completely understand it, but you've got to start realizing that God does speak to us. Yes, you can be wrong. And as God said in the Old Testament, hear my voice. That's what he meant. Hear my voice and obey my commands or my laws. And the Jewish scholars say, obey my instructions is what God was saying. But we must hear God's voice. I need to hear God's voice every day. I'm kind of spoiled. I look for his direction and his encouragement and promises and insight every day. And one of the ways I get it sometimes is reading like Robert's books. I read those books. I compare my life with what other people's lives has been. And so God speaks to you through reading, through impressions upon your heart, listening to anointed teaching, and you have to look. I believe look every day for God's voice. Listen. How do you feel about that?
I think that's true. I think that's good encouragement and good things. I mean, God talks every day, and miracles are coming to you or by you every day. What makes them come to you is you're expecting them. And the number one way to set yourself up to receive God's voice and God's hand of miracles in your life is by just saying with your heart and mouth, Lord, I receive your voice. I receive your supernatural, your unseen power in my life today. I expect your will, your words, and your actions to come into my life. And just set yourself on the right course to receive the power of God and the miracles of God. Miracles are coming every day to you or by you. And what makes them come to you, I'll say again, is you setting yourself up by saying, I want them. I receive them. I recognize them. And it's that simple to put yourself in the position to receive his voice and his help.
So with our voice, we actually activate God. We say, come on, you're welcome. In a word of prayer or in conversation with God, you just open up your life to hear his voice. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. That simple. Talk to God like you talk to a friend.
Wow. That can change our lives today. I feel it's necessary for me. For me, I need to hear God's voice, and I need his direction. I need his help, because I'm a person that goes astray, you know. I soon lose patience and get tired and weary, and I'm a person that needs God continually to hear his voice. And it works. It works.
God likes to talk to his people, so we just need to make time, even if it's only 2 minutes, to sit down, quiet our hearts and our minds, and hear God's voice and feel God's feelings. And life will be so much better for everybody.
In your busy life and all that you're doing, what is important right today as we come to a close? Or what's important that's happening that God's showing you today?
Well, I think that we are on a verge of a great need in Europe and in the Western democracies of a renewal of our faith and the passion of our hearts. And I think God's going to breathe again across certain nations of the world. And when he breathes, if we're ready, we're going to get a special amount of that blessing come into our life and new inspiration and zeal to go do things that we thought were over. I think that we're also in a little bit of a challenge. Like I said in the last broadcast, that I was in England for 3 years. And the number one mission field outside of North Africa to me is England and Europe. If we don't have a renewal of faith and renewal of freedom, political freedom in these countries, a modern dark age is going to try to take over this part of the world. And if it wins, it is the launching pad of those spirits and that mindset to try to come into North America. So we're in a very interesting moment politically, spiritually. I think good things are going to happen, but we've got to be prepared and be ready to run the race that is set before us at this time, and we're willing to pay the personal price to be used by God in a difficult moment. I do think is a reality, especially for the matured believers. They'll probably understand those comments a little bit more than those who are just becoming familiar with the Christian faith. But there is a price or a cost sometimes to be a Christian or to stand up for your faith in society where it's not always received or it's looked down upon for a while. But God always wins if his people will stay strong with him. So those would be my quick little overviews that I see of what's happening in the present world today.
And you're out there in the front too. You're a general. You're one of God's generals.
Well, I try to obey every day and do something good for God and good for man. My spiritual father, Lester Summerall, said to me, you're great because you do something good every day. Not because you do one big, great thing. So I want a great life, not a great event. And so I'm trying to do something for God and man, at least one thing a day, to make the world and the kingdom of God advance in the positive direction. So I'm trying to have a great life, not just a great event in my life.
Excellent, excellent. Roberts, could you have a prayer for our audience that is listening to us today?
Sure. Father, we pray for those who have taken time out of their busy schedule to listen to our conversation. And I ask the Holy Spirit, who's the one that Jesus sent to work in the hearts of people today, to take our words and expand them further in their hearts and their minds so that our conversation has been a help and not a problem. I pray that you will heal them that are sick or in pain. You will give answers to their questions. That you'll give financial help to them that are in an economic crisis. And Father, there's all of us that need answers to different solutions with our relationships. Give us the right mindset and the right abilities to cause peace and joy in our families, in our friendships. And we break every power of the enemy that would come to hinder or to attach themselves to those that are listening. Through the name of Jesus, we command evil to remove itself from their place, remove itself from their mind, and let there be peace and confidence and stability. And Father, I also pray for them that are listening that you'll get the wrong people out of their life so the right people can come in. Amen. Father, that's one of the biggest needs I see, that we need to get the right people around us. And we ask for your help to do that for our listeners today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Today we had a wonderful time visiting with Robert Slergen, the author of many books. The books we focused on today were God's Generals. God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. Our mailing address, Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Our mailing address again, Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110.
Come fly with Global Air Force.